Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. And today I got a special guest all the way from Taiwan. We have Eric with Cartesi. Is that how you say it? Did I just make sure I say it right?
Actually say Cartesi with an open E.
Gotcha. Cartesi. Yeah. All right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard, for this opportunity. I'm very happy to be here.
Of course. So start off by telling us a little bit about yourself. Give us some background about who you are and what you've been up to the last several years.
Sure. So let me trace back to the beginning of my life a little bit. So when I was 13, I was traveling on this ship with my father from Brazil to Japan. So it was a kind of a 3-month trip. So you can imagine for a boy, I didn't have much to do on the boat looking at the ocean every day. So I had access to this Casio PB1000 computer. It was a handheld computer released by Casio in 87.
Wow.
So that was my first software project. I developed this full text-based adventure game on that handheld device, and that became a very exciting project for me at that time. So from that point on, I was really passionate and hooked to computers, and I went to school. In 2000, I received my degree in engineering from the Catholic University of Rio de Janeiro. I also spent 1 year at UCLA. And when I was in Catholic University of Rio, one of my professors was a co-creator of the Lua programming language. So I don't know if you guys know, but the Lua programming language is a scripting language very well known in the game development community. So games like World of Warcraft use it and so on. So, and there was another professor that was also co-author of that language called Luis Henrique de Figueiredo, who is actually our technical advisor in the project.
Wow.
It's quite cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, really humble beginnings from the jump. It sounds like you've always known that you wanted to be working in the computer space. And then, so then you start, learning this unique language that's used by World of Warcraft. And, at what point did you get your first introduction into cryptocurrency and blockchain?
So I kept my career as a software developer, let's say for 20 years plus, working for different verticals, doing architecture and leading development for several startups in different verticals. I was very much into big data and analytics as well, working for telecom and transportation companies. And eventually I had my own consultancy business, doing architecture and providing talents and project management for other companies.
Okay.
So at that time, I was exploring the world, traveling with my computer, doing my software business abroad. So I spent some time in Paris, some time in Thailand. And I was quite interested by traveling and also exploring, the realms of the mind with meditation, breathwork therapies, and Eastern traditions and philosophies. So I was very attracted to disruptive technologies and disruption as a whole. And I think that's what got me hooked into blockchain.
Gotcha. Okay. So you start traveling, you get to these emerging technologies. What was your first introduction to blockchain? Did someone talking about it at a cafe, or how did you first get introduced to it?
So actually I started to play as a trader just for fun for a while. And then I was quite interested in that kind of game because for me it was kind of a game. And I started to develop some big data software that would collect data from several exchanges to help me make my decisions. And that's a project that was doing on my own. And eventually I was also traveling in Taiwan, doing a soft landing program for entrepreneurs called Anchor Taiwan. And at that time, I received a call from my friend from school Diego, who also went to UCLA with me. He was my flatmate. And he was developing this very cool tech with his research partner at INPA. So INPA is an institute for peer and applied math in Rio de Janeiro. Nice. So they were developing this blockchain tech, and I was quite intrigued about what they are doing. Diego was looking for a CEO for that project because he wanted to turn that academic idea into a product, a real business. And so that's how he put me onto this project.
Gotcha. Okay. So now that we're, you know, diving into this company, so I'm assuming the name changed at some point into what is now Cartesi. So can you tell us a little bit about what it is and how did y'all come up with the concept and what are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah. So we all know that Ethereum and other blockchains that support smart contracts, they want to build a kind of a world computer. Right. So like users, they can share the same state across the globe in a secure and consensual way and so on. But as a computer, we know that Ethereum and other blockchains, they are quite limited and sometimes quite expensive to use. So you have very tight computational limits available on chain, the well-known scalability issues, and you have limited tools. Even doing basic things, developers take for granted, like converting a number to a string, on Solidity is a problem, right? It's not so easy to do that basic kind of operation. So what to say about even more complex things like compressing or decompressing files that developers do in their daily lives? So you don't have an operating system, so it's very hard to do these kind of basic operations. So it's like if you're a developer for blockchain, you have to go back to the dawn of computer science. So it's really hard to develop things on top of blockchain. So Cartesi puts Linux on blockchains.
So okay, can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. So it's a decentralized Linux infrastructure that does a computation off-chain while preserving the security guarantees of the blockchain. So people that are engaged on a dApp using Cartesi, they achieve consensus off-chain, and they can defend their interests. So if there is someone trying to cheat, they can use the blockchain as a Supreme Court to defend their position. So, but the main innovation here with Cartesi is that we actually put an entire Linux operating system in the Cartesi nodes. So the developers, they have access to all the features of AOS, like a file system, threads, virtual memory. And not only that, you know, if you look at all the development that has been done on top of Linux, look at GitHub or something like this, you see that there are 30 years of open source software that has matured on top of it, right? So we give dApp developers the ability to use all that software that has been maturing, evolving, and yet they can preserve decentralization and do their applications for blockchains.
Which is really interesting and very needed, because you just addressed a huge problem with a lot of the earlier cryptocurrency platforms where scalability is a gigantic issue. And if you're trying to go to day-to-day operations and even from a standpoint of simple transactions that should take seconds, that take minutes at some points, you know, that just doesn't scale out. And so sounds like with the infrastructure you're trying to make for decentralized apps and everything else, you're trying to have that iOS type of infrastructure to where anyone can come on and build. It can be uniform and everything can move very quickly. And I think that you said that the way that it's able to be accomplished is by keeping everything off chain, but then having the blockchain as your quote unquote Supreme Court that then can make sure that all the data points are there. Is that about right?
Correct. And then we use some crypto economic incentives that's like the participants, they have to place collaterals to disincentivize any kind of cheating. And in the rare cases when cheating happens, then we have a very cheap way, a cost-effective way for people to resolve their disputes on the blockchain. So we employ an algorithm called verification game, which is similar to what TrueBit does.
Gotcha. And I mean, that makes a ton of sense to me, but let's say for a person that's learning about blockchain for the first time and explaining like how this all works together and like, why would someone need to defend their chain or to have consensus? Can you dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, so when you think about the blockchain, it's a huge consensus machine. So every single node repeats the same operation across thousands of instances, right? So that's what gives this big security around the operations for every participant. So, but of course, that has its scalability problems, because if you repeat the operations across all nodes, it's very hard to scale. So in the case of Cartesi, we allow for the DApp to, for their users to achieve consensus, to, you know, do the computation themselves on their Cartesi nodes without involving these thousands of nodes on the blockchain. So of course, they're going to repeat the computations themselves and verify each other's results. And if everybody is behaving honestly, they achieve the same results on their nodes. And because Cartesi nodes, they are deterministic, so it's really they are really able to get to the exact bit by bit results in the end of the computation. Now, if there is someone trying to cheat, to, you know, try to steal someone or do something fishy, then any participant can see that there is a wrong computation and go to the blockchain and say, hey, blockchain, here is someone trying to, you know, cheat, acting dishonestly. Please defend me. And then the blockchain starts an interactive dispute resolution method that in a few operations back and forth to Cartesi nodes and blockchains involving the two parties, the blockchain is able to understand who is cheating and who is honest.
Gotcha, and which is extremely important. And one of the largest benefits to blockchain is the transparency that's behind it and access to transparent data.
Correct. So that the good thing about it is that, you know, usually there is no cheating involved. So things should run very smoothly off chain, very fast, and everybody's happy. And when something bad happens, then the blockchain is a supreme court.
Gotcha, which is great. And kind of switching gears a little bit, how do you think, or why do you think putting the world's data on blockchain can be beneficial for everyone?
Right, I guess you must have read our article about oracles that we released on MESA recently.
That's
right. Of course, you know, it's actually impossible to put the world data on the blockchain. This title is a kind of a provocation, a teaser. But what we mean with that is that Cartesi can help oracles to access huge amounts of data off-chain and allow the involved parties doing computations on these large pools of data off-chain to achieve consensus. So basically, it's like we're giving smart contracts the ability to manipulate and to process a huge amount of data that's sitting outside of the blockchain. So it's virtually like it was in the blockchain, but actually it doesn't need to be inside the blockchain.
Right. Which should allow for speed of use, but then because it gets back on chain, you still have that database or that secure way of always knowing that, being able to follow where everything has happened and is going.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, with that, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of cool projects that are being built on top of your platform. Are there any projects in particular that has you excited?
Well, right now we achieved our open source milestone a couple of months ago. Right now we are developing our first DApp, which is going to be a fully decentralized tower defense game. We are in our final integrations and tests here, so we are quite excited. So that's going to be the first Cartesi product. And from this point on, we really hope that we can be quite useful to many developers out there willing to onboard blockchain tech.
Oh, absolutely, which is great. Would you say that the focus of your platform is for gaming solutions, or would it be for any kind of dApp that people would want to build on top of?
Well, actually, for any kind of dApp, right? It's just that we took this game as an opportunity to showcase what Cartesi can do. So the whole idea behind this tower defense game is that we, you know, in a tower defense game, you have few events generated by the players themselves. So player A will put one tower here, player B will put another tower there. So all this information, which is very small, can fit in the blockchain. But the amount of computation that's involved, you know, when the enemies enter the maze and your towers start to fire those enemies, it's a lot of computation. And this amount of computation, of course, cannot fit on chain. It's too much bandwidth that would be required from the blockchain, and the blockchain doesn't have that capacity. So this game proves the point that Cartesi can do a total decentralized application and yet do do massive computation with the security and consensus guarantees of the blockchain.
Which is extremely interesting, because I've actually heard this problem with a couple of different platforms of just, you know, the scalability of it. So definitely going to keep my eyes on this and seeing how your first dApp does and seeing how some other projects are able to build on top. But what are some other cryptocurrency or blockchain projects or things that are happening in the space that you think people should keep an eye on in the next several months or years or so?
I'm particularly excited about open finance and DeFi. So MakerDAO is something that I think is quite cool, right? This whole idea of having a stable currency, because by the way, volatility is a big barrier for the adoption of blockchains, and MakerDAO is doing a good job there. So they have introduced this DAI, which is a cryptocurrency that maintains a one-to-one peg with the US dollar. But at the same time, things are backed by Ether, right? And not by any third party claiming to have the required collateral or something like this. So I think that's quite cool.
Right.
I also love Ethereum. I like the fact they're pioneers. They have this first mover advantage. There's this huge community. It's not perfect, but who is, right? But
right.
I like to see the passion, you know, and the community and everything people are building around it. I think that's beautiful.
Absolutely. And of course, full disclosure, everyone listening, this is not financial advice, but I mean, I definitely am an Ethereum fan, and I've said it on several other episodes. It's just, they're building something that's built to last and built to be built on top of. And it's platform-ish, right? And there's just so much power in building something that others can go and build on top of, because then you're needed, you're necessary. And one of the biggest issues of a lot of these cryptocurrency projects and even some blockchain projects is that you might solve one thing, but in the grand scheme, you're not essential. And so projects that are like creating themselves to be essential to multiple projects or multiple things that are going on, like I think those are the ones to truly keep an eye on. So I definitely agree with that sentiment.
Yeah, we don't know which blockchains are going to be the most relevant in a few years. That we have to wait and see. But I really like what Ethereum is doing. And of course, there are other projects that are also doing a great job. So let's see what's going to happen in the next years.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for sharing all of the knowledge and everything that's going on with Cartesi. But what is a final thought that you want to leave with all of our listeners today?
So I'd like to drive the attention back to what you're building here. You know, I'm a great fan of what you're doing. Of course, I'm quite biased. But, you know, we have this vision to give the app developers the software infrastructure that's mainstream veteran application developers already enjoy when they do something for desktop, mobile, or the web 2.0. So we want to, you know, there is no sense to turn our back on real operating systems, even when we're coming to blockchain development. So we want to give a real operating system and all these tools and software libraries that are already available and have been maturing on Linux, for instance, for decades. So yeah, I'd like to bring attention back to this, and all support is appreciated. All feedback and opinions, we are glad to talk and discuss, and that's it.
Excellent. Well, what are some different ways people can connect with you and learn more about Cartesi?
So we have a Telegram community. We have a Discord channel that is more focused on developers. So if you are a developer, you are more than welcome to join and bring your questions and opinions and thoughts. And we're glad to discuss from there.
Perfect. Well, again, thank you so much for being on the show today. And for everyone listening, stay cryptocurrent.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of Cryptocurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency. you'll receive daily emails Monday through Friday that are personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Are you an accredited investor looking to invest in cryptocurrency? Crescent City Capital can help. Go to crescentcitycapital.com for more information. If you're finding value in our content, please take 5 minutes to leave a 5-star review and a great comment. Also, please make sure to share this podcast with others. Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the quality of this podcast. I can only thank my amazing producer, Andrew DeRitter, with DeRitter Productions, who has put this together. If you have any podcast, visual, or video needs, please go to DeRitterProductions.com. That's DERITTER Productions.com.
This has been another episode of Crypto Current, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay Crypto Current.
Please use available exits now.